JW Mobile.
YQK Mobile.
KW4DJW. Hey, David.
And how are you liking this winter weather? Wanted to put a little pool outside and get in the pool. And once we got the pool blown up and we went outside and it was chilly out there, she decided not to do that today. So, yeah, you're right. We go from the 90s to, my temperature gauge says 68 right now. Not about where I'm at. It's a little bit cooler out in the countryside. Let's asphalt to heat the air out.
What up to today? I'm headed to Sloshki to get some lunch and then I'm going flying.
With me. We're headed down to the yacht there. I got to do some work on the yacht. Make sure it's not sinking. I'm going to send the carburetor out on the engine today.
Is this the sailboat?
Ted is the sailboat's name.
What again, slower?
GED.
Jed, GED, okay. All right, so the engine's not running up to snuff. You got to do some carburetor work.
In the carburetor, when I go to idle, it wants to shut off. It always shuts off at the most inconvenient time when you're trying to moor or when you're trying to dock. So I want to get that cleaned up real good so I can have control at slow speeds.
You don't even lose power when you need to, like, put it in reverse and back away from something you're coasting toward. Yeah, I can understand that completely. I see dark clouds over to the southeast. Do you see those?
Over me right now, that'd be good. Get a little storm front. I raise the sail up and catch some wind.
You're on the water when it's stormy, do you?
Well, I'll miss the storm and try to catch the wind coming off the backside.
Oh, I see. So you're looking for the wind. I'm looking for the wind to be gone to go flying.
Yeah, but use less gas that way. Well, this boat, looking at fixing it up, and I can trailer it if I get a big enough truck. It's like 25 foot, so it's like the largest you can trailer it, probably. So if I get a trailer, I can haul it out of Hartwell and take it down to the intercoastal and take off for a couple months.
Where? Where did you say that you were thinking about heading to?
That's the Intercoastal Waterway. It's a highway that goes all the way to Key West and all the way up past New York for boats.
I did not know it was that extensive of a network. You can go in the Intercoastal Waterways without going out in the ocean from the Keys all the way to New York?
You can't. Of course, there's some areas you'd want to hop out on the coastline if the weather's nice, out on the ocean, near shore sailing. But you can travel all the way from one end to the other end.
There was that much water inland to be able to do that. That's pretty cool. How deep did you say that keel is on that thing? How high would the center of gravity be? Like, if you went around a corner, that thing wouldn't want to fall over, would it?
4.5 to 5 feet, I believe, if I remember correctly. The mast that I have on my 25-footer is about 30 feet.
I guess you'd be safe then. You have to be careful going around corners, though. You wouldn't ever want to get in a hurry.
Enough weight in that ballast to keep me upright.
The traffic had to be careful there. I was looking out on APRS this morning, and I saw W2JKT Eric. Left yesterday in Seneca, and he arrived in Washington, D.C. today. You can see his whole trail. A little more than 12 hours to go from Seneca to Washington, D.C. I guess he stopped up somewhere along the way, but pretty cool APRS trail. It'd be good to put apers on that sailboat.
You do it. Wyatt's working on the electronics. We're using all open source electronics on it. It's going to have wind speed, the boat speed. It's going to have a bilge pump notification for electric bilge pump as it kicks on. APRS, Wi-Fi, open charts for navigating. So I'll have the works on it.
I could do an end-of-the-day diary, and we could watch your progress as you were going along and hear your input. You could open a blog on the web. kind of like Ariel did with his soda goat, right, as he was doing, and eventually wrote a book about it.
You open, well, you know how you got parts on the air? They're doing boats on the air now. So I might do that. Activate Lake Harwell from the boat.
And maritime mobile contacts are few and far between, so you probably get a pile up there.
Flex 1500. I'm still trying to come up with a solar panel system. I'm tying solar panels off the back of it, and I'm thinking about doing a 200-watt solar power.
So you know you can get one of those Juma PA 100Ds that'll do 150 watts out, and you can put it on that Flex 1500, and you can get like 150 watts out of that Flex 1500 doing that.
High power, 50 watt. Took your high power for the Flex 1500 I can use right now. But yeah, that Flex 1500 should work great on that boat.
High power went out of business. I did not realize that. I was looking at one of their amps the other day, and all you can buy is, you know, stuff that other people bought. There's nothing. You can't buy anything new anymore from Tokyo High Power. That's a shame. They were a really good company.
Mass Amplifier, the last year they made them.
Bought one of them, but you can still get good quality ones. The people still put them for. There's a website dedicated to it, so you can still get good quality used ones, but no more new ones. I think it was. There's a series of events that put them out of business. I think the last one was that tsunami that they had over in Japan. I think that's the one that tied the ribbon on it.
Hey, I take my boats. So this guy in California, he's an IT guy. He does ham radio and everything. He said about Wi-Fi mesh on his boat and stuff. And he has a boat that he's got for the zombie apocalypse. And he's putting all kinds of ham radio, Wi-Fi mesh on it. I try to remember his name. I think Braxton or something. An Asian guy. He lives out in California. I'll have to get his name for you.
Over in Greer, WB4ZVM, I can't remember exactly. He's the one that kind of started experimenting with that in this area, and then Wyatt picked up on it, then I picked up on it, and started to get a ham mesh network going, but it kind of fizzled out before it blossomed. But I heard him back on here. And I think Wyatt still has an interest in it. Have you talked to him about that?
KJ460D.
I've talked to Wyatt about that in other stations. Go ahead.
You and Dave doubled up. Well, the two Daves. Whatever. Anyway. Yeah, give me about 5 minutes. I'm actually on aviation band at the moment, but I'll come back in. KJ460D.
I'm listening for you. I've got to make a trip out to Pelham Road and back, so I should be around. And I think David's headed down to Hartwell, so he should be around. But anyway, David, speak of. Have you ever stood up one of those nodes for ham mesh network?
I stood one up before, and I bet you Wyatt can fill you in on the sailboat electronics he's working on, which would be pretty good. I'm going to get Wyatt to come out to me. We got to do some repair, so I got Pig and Lee, up. Here is steps on there. We're going to pull the Harrier down. We broke the line to the Harrier, and the Harrier's stuck at the top of the mast, so we're going to drop the mast in order to get the Harrier back down. And when we do that, we're going to put up a wind index and everything.
For a long line, for HF, that can go up that mast?
Yeah, I'm going to get with, the guy's name's Rob. I'm going to get with Rob in California, the other sailboat guy that's a ham radio thing. I'm going to see what he's using for his boat and maybe kind of duplicate what other guys are doing. I have not looked into what type of tuner I need or how to run the antenna yet.
On that one day, and I bought one. For a sailboat. They're built for sailboats, but you can also use them just to tune any a random length of wire so that you can at least make your radio think that it's resonant. It worked pretty good, pretty decent. But I think you need one of those for a sailboat because it has to like go up the mast and then down the edge of one of those others. It makes like an acute inverted L with an acute less than 90 degree angle, but I think they work. I've heard of other people. The research that I did said other sailboat owners really like them a lot, use them a lot. I can't remember the name of it. I'll have to go up in the attic and take a picture of it and send it to you. But it works good. It'll tune up a random piece of wire in a heartbeat.
You've been following a boat in from Germany there. I can't forget the call sign. The last time I saw him, he was in the Pacific. He was heading to Fiji. I think he's all the way to Fiji by now. About a month ago, I got him on the JSA. So he's broadcasting on JSA and communicating back with JSA there to the world.
Is that a new mode? I haven't heard of that yet.
He called. That's what I run at the house all the time. It's very nice because you have mailboxes and stuff like you do with the with packet radio.
Well, that's pretty cool. I'll have to look into that one. So are you planning on working from the boat while you're doing this, or are you taking some leave?
My grand scheme, doing a major punch out. In 4 more years, I'll be punching out the workforce. Think I'm going to go ahead and retire at age 60.
Retired by then, too. I got a year and a half to go. I'm looking forward to it. But so the trip that you're talking about making, you're getting ready for, is a few years out.
A few years out, and I'm still debating on which boat I'm going to do it with. Tempted to do it with that KLX-25, but I've been looking at trial hauls and stuff like that, or I might give myself a 36 to a 40-footer.
And then the one you got now, or like just selling that one and buying another one? Or are you getting a fleet of these things?
The 25-footer on Hartwell, and the one I'm buying for the trip will be used for like 4 years or so. Then I'll sell it and just retreat to the one on Lake Hartwell after 4 years of use.
You were that much into sailing. Was that you that started the sailing thing, or did something else spawn that?
Times as a kid, and a couple times with some friends as an adult. But I never had the opportunity on a boat because I've always been mobile, you know, flying around the world to different wars and stuff like that. So I never had the opportunity on a boat.
This is you, Aaron. That wasn't the Navy. That was the Army. No, that was the Air Force. I can't remember. Okay, I was thinking it wasn't the Navy. So that's strange. An ex-Air Force vet getting into Marine. That's cool, though. That means air, sea, land, water doesn't matter. It's transportation, right?
I got thinking about that. You know, I worked avionics, aircraft communications. I worked air traffic control. I worked satellite communications. The only communications I don't have is maritime, so I'll be well-rounded.
That is cool. Touch every corner of what's available out there. Are you you on 85? Or are you have you left the QTH yet? You on 85?
I'm up. Somebody's riding with me here, Lee. He's gonna ride out there with me. Well, I'm gonna let you go for a second. Be gone for about 5 minutes. I'll be back online. This is KJ4YQK.
Okay, well, I'm just getting off of 85. I've got to place my order, pick it up, and I'll be back on it. So if I'm not back when you're back, I should be back shortly after that. W4DJ, W Mobile.
As I get clear of the movement area, everybody leaves KJ4CTD.
Hey, Wyatt, I'm just now getting off of 85, so I've got just about a mile or two after that before I place my order. But are you working with the Ham Mesh Network anymore?
Well, I don't know. I'm kind of infuriated with the FCC because they won't let us do experimentation nor encryption. Although I did design a backbone which was commercial and then dropped for ham mesh. But I can't seem to get any interest from people that would have to provide additional equipment. I can't do the whole thing.
Do encryption as long as it's a publicly available encryption protocol, right? I mean, you can't do encryption that nobody knows about. You can only do, like, public encryption. Maybe I'm thinking about that. Maybe it's the protocol itself has to be a public protocol. Encryption is off limits. Maybe that's what it is. Okay. It's starting to come back to me now.
Yeah, the key has to be publicly available, as well as a documented protocol. So if you really wanted to run HTTPS, not only would you need the, you would have to have the key publicly available, and you can't change it, so you'd have to modify your web servers.
at that point to run HTTPS because it's available to everybody all the time.
Well, exactly, and that's why I was looking at just running a commercial, what is that, Part 15, point-to-point, and then, you know, once you get to the end of that run, then you drop down and run it over to the ham mesh. But even that seems to be legally questionable these days.
All right, well, I'm at the window. I'll be back in a minute. W4DJW.
My quick check of that.
Mobile. Did Wyatt come back out?
He did. He started explaining some of the hard parts about encryption and public keys and HTTPS versus HTTP, and then I got stopped. I was ordering at the window, but he said he had to go back to something, and then he'd be back in a minute.
I find the electronics on the board they built for the boat.
It powers all of the sensors and the meters and stuff. Is that kind of electronics?
Yeah, does your chart display and your wind direction and all that stuff with sensors?
Did you force it today? Although I think I'm going to have a second one, and I was looking at CM4 boards, but there aren't anybody that makes a dual carrier for them, because I need one to do heavy lifting and one to do display.
Four board, remind me of that.
That's the embedded Raspberry Pi 4.
Module, compute module 4. You're looking at those. I've looked at those, but they've never had near the power of a full-blown Raspberry Pi, so I've always dismissed them.
Now, the CM4 is due, and I need one that's going to be a database server so it can actually serve the map live from a Postgres database, because that way I can pull in OpenStreetMap for when you're using it as a road mapper, and OpenCPN when you're using it as a ship mapper.
What's the motherboard for the CM4 modules so you can like stack them? I mean, there was an old one for the old compute module board, but I don't think it was compatible with the new one. Has anybody come out with anything of that for that yet so that you can like build a hive?
A hive?
Yeah, except for the new module, not the old module.
Now, Turning is supposed to be producing one. They've announced plans to, but instead of supporting 8, it's going to be supporting 4 in the same ITX or mini ITX board format.
But they were building a board that you put the new 4 on so they could adapt it to the old, motherboard. But like you said, you get less nodes. That's not worth it. That's going backwards. They need to redesign it for the new board.
But I seriously considered getting that Turing Pi 1, which is what they call the 8 version, because it also broke out all the GPIO pins per board, so you could set it up such that if you had a critical system that if board 1 failed, it would automatically switch over to board 2, and you would still have all your IO pins already hooked up as long as you did appropriate electronics behind the scenes so it could automatically switch between the two, which was an interesting prospect.
It's an advantage, but there's a lot of other disadvantages too. The USB only goes to the first one. There's no USB, like if you needed, like what we're doing on the repeater, where each individual radio has its own serial line, you could run out of communication resources really quick.
The downside, but as far as David's boat goes, I really need two Pis running side by side, preferably on the same board. Because when you're trying to render from a Postgres database, that consumes a lot of CPU cycles. I have a single Raspberry Pi with a solid state drive running right now, kind of in quasi demo mode for myself as I try to work through things, and it just bogs down.
So is either one of those two going to be low enough CPU usage that he can run Direwolf on them and Exaster on the display, so that he can run APRS and he can see APRS from one of the two, or would that? I built two of them recently, two Pi 4s, one using Exaster, one using Direwolf, and they're both working really good. The one that's using Exaster has a Bionics Tiny Track 4 for the TNC. The one that's running Direwolf is using, I have UIView 32 running on a full-blown Windows PC that's connecting to it. So many, many different ways to do that. Either one of those isn't going to be free enough for him to be able to do that, to run APRS?
Any reason at all that I couldn't run off the display side, because they're actually pretty lightweight as far as computational requirements are, versus heavy-duty database servers.
I was up and running. If you need any help with that, I can show you a working example that are running right now.
FX, way back in the dark ages, before they opened the source code up, I understand it's significantly better now.
Absolutely it is. It's not as good as UIView 32, but it's knocking on the door. It's right around the corner, and will run for days and days and days without any problems whatsoever. And the maps, they found the sources of maps that are really, really good maps compared to what they were back in the early days. So you're right, they have come a long way.
To OpenStreetMaps, then, you know, I can be rendering that straight off of the OpenStreetMap database that's running on the Raspberry, on the database server, because that's what it's doing. And all it's doing is pulling from the database, rendering the map tiles, and sending it off to the display board.
Edit, you'll see, when you go into the maps and you say load a map type, there's hundreds of different map types in there. They've opening it up to where many different developers can contribute made a huge difference. So there's probably any kind of map, any non-proprietary map that's out there, you can probably find it in that list. If not, you've got plenty of working examples to show you how to do it.
Okay. Good. That's good. And, you know, AIS, which is similar to APRS, but is shipboard design, all that is a little bit different on the RF end, and it works the same way.
And I believe that's one of the servers that I'm connecting to. It's one of those servers to do the world communication, W4DJW.
Like barges moving in Charleston Harbor or San Francisco and things of that nature. And for David's boat, he would need that. I don't know exactly what the requirements are to transmit on AIS, but he could definitely do it from APRS, and it shouldn't be that big of a deal.
YQK, the radio that I have, the marine radio I have installed in the boat will have AIS transmission and reception capability.
Out of it?
Output out of it. I'd take a look at it, depending on what model you get.
For that radio.
All different manufacturers, marine radios.
Wondering what possibilities would be out there. That's pretty cool. You got involved in that, Wyatt. Did you build him like a breakout box or something like that with the Raspberry Pis and all the sensor connectors on a expansion board or something?
Actually, in the plans, because I've moved away from the Bitscape blade for the powering source. Just because they're so hard to get your hands on any of them. So, To be honest, I'm kind of looking at PoE because that'll handle, 48 volts, and you can always get a 12 to 48 converter, and then you can put them wherever you want to.
So what'd you move to? Away from the BitScope to what?
What's the PoE have?
Oh, really? Just the power over Ethernet. How's that working out?
It's working okay. I did actually have the board outside for about a week, and the solid state drive overheated. So I had to bring it back inside. But my biggest issue right now is the IMU boards and GPS. They have like one board, maybe two boards that have a GPS and the IMUs on the same board, which would make things so much easier.
Yeah, there's a lot of those out there, especially if you start looking over in the ArduPilot area. There's people starting to create those for Raspberry Pis, and it's got accelerometers. It's got even more than just the two, more than a compass and a GPS. It's compass, GPS, accelerometers, barometers. A lot of options are opening up over there. So power over Ethernet, when I'm running a heavy load, when I'm doing like crunching for COVID, right, or bending gravitational waves, or looking for flexes of gravitational waves, that's using a lot of CPU. All four CPUs are wound up to 100%, and they stay that way for a long time. The current draw can exceed like 3 to 3.5 amps on one of those. Does that power over Ethernet, does it supply that kind of power?
Well, they just released in the last week or two the PoE Plus hat, which I don't have one yet, and I believe that tops out at, I can't remember how many amps that tops out at, but it's, I think it's maybe 65 watts, don't quote me on that, maybe 25, I just don't remember, but it's whatever PoE Plus is rated for.
Yeah, that's the only reason I haven't gone to that yet, because it's just not, I use 240 amp power supplies, 5 volt, 40 amp, to power 24 bipolars to do all that number crunching. And that works good. No more, that's 80 amps total, but no more for 24 boards. 80 amps for 24 boards, but no more lightning bolts in the upper right corner of the screen.
Lightning bolt from the Raspberry Pi for 8 gigs. I had to buy a pair of them because I was running out of memory on the database server. And that's just on the old PoE hat, but I'm also not running the cores, flat out.
Yes, when you run them flat out, they suck up the juice. They are thirsty animals.
And it actually has PoE++ on it. So, if they ever come out with an even higher grade one that will handle that, I can do that. I'm not expecting... The computer I'm building for David, I'm actually building that for a couple of different people, because it is part of a larger project. He mainly needs it for the naval side of things, but I also want to build it for road as well as like hiking trails and lake marinas and whatnot.
No aviation version, W4DJW.
Yeah, of your mind? There's too many regulations to have to dodge through to try and get something approved. Speaking of that, I did see the Pixel. You can actually pull the sensor data off the Pixel, and I do actually have a Pixel, so I may try that.
That's what I just switched over to on my multirotor, the quadcopters, to the Pixel from the AMP that they don't make anymore. Since I quit flying, I got back into it. They went out of business. They don't make them. So you got to go to Pixhawk. That's the next best thing. Did you get one of those that's a cube, or did you get the one that everything's on one board?
Right about the time you stopped flying. So it's the standard version that because Pixhawk doesn't actually make it. They sell the whatever the standard is. You know what I mean.
Yeah, PX4 is the standard, I think, that runs on the Pixhawk. But the cube versions are a whole lot more expensive. But they got ovens in them, so that as temperature changes, they still can sense barometric pressure changes, but they're not sensitive to temperature changes for altitude, which was the drawback with the old Pixel Hawk. They'd be flying along, and then they'd drop 5 feet because they got a temperature change that gave them a false signal. That's why DJIs outperformed 3DR. That's why they did so much better, is because they planned on that. They compensated for that, and the Pixel Hawk didn't. But it does now. With the cube version does. The ones with the cubes that plug in.
For CTD. Yeah, that's actually, because I got a... it's an IMU that's been breadboarded out from the Raspberry Pi, and then they got a GPS stacked on top of it, and it's just very unwieldy and very ugly looking. But I was looking at the Berry IMU GPS. I think it's version 4 out of Australia. But it is also, like everything else in the world, in short supply, just because they can't get the chips.
Yeah, COVID's kind of killed our fun. COVID's kind of killed the supply fun. I've noticed that exact same thing, too. Some of the airplane parts I ordered out of China, because that's the only place they're available. They're not available anywhere else in the world. And weeks later, months later, all of a sudden something shows up on your doorstep from, oh, yeah, I didn't remember I ordered that. Anyway, I'm about to pull in the driveway. You and David pick it up. Good to hear from you, Wyatt. I haven't heard you in a long time. You too, David. Take care. W4DJW.
Okay, Dave. KJ4CTD. Go ahead, David.
YQK Mobile. All right, Dave, we'll catch you later on. And Wyatt, we're headed out to Anderson. I'm going to stop by the boat. I'm going to make sure it's still floating and stuff like that. When you get back from your Florida, I'll probably need your help on what and how you're down.
Florida.
For next week?
I guess it is coming up in a week or so. Sorry, I couldn't hear you. I had a plane buzzing me.
After you get back, I'll plan it after you get back. You're over at the Donaldson Center?
That's affirmative. I'm just doing PM.
Hood Cakes 4YM. You're Wyatt around Donaldson. I locked my daughters up and closed the refrigerator.
You're just strange and bizarre.
I'd lock the door down when Wyatt's around. But the door loves Wyatt, huh?
I'm going to finish my PM, so that's because I got to take the system down. KJ4CTD.
Back to you later. Bring me up to date on the Florida trip there, and if you're leaving, when you get back and stuff, we'll say 33 for now. It's KJ4YQK.
G7ILP, calling for W4NYK repeater. G7ILP. ILP calling and standing by.
7ILP, KCHZYB. Heard, KCHZYB clear.
JW, KN4, VWA. For DJW, KN4, VWA.